Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and about what's next. It's a show that wants to ask questions, peel back the layers of our average everyday experience, and go beyond scratching the surface. We interview amazing people with incredible ideas and stories who have done wild, weird, and wonderful things. Remember that imagination shared creates collaboration, and collaboration creates community, and community inspires social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face. Next interview is with Carla Langhorst and Peter Miller. We're talking about the environment. We're talking about the conservation economy and their new book, The Give Back Economy: Social Responsibility Practices for Businesses and Nonprofit. It is published by Self Counsel Press. You might want to check that out online. We talk once again about a whole lot of everything on here on Face to Face with our two articulate, engaging, and interesting guests doing good and doing well. We talk about social innovation and social entrepreneurship and what that means. We talk about how mindsets are so important to all of this and why, you know, there's a lot of doomsday thinking going on, and yet why it's important to still say to still stay hopeful. We talk about ethical dilemmas in this whole CSR-like world and why there's a need to know that we are, in fact, doing good. Fulfillment's not about money, so Carla and Peter are going to tell us. And we talk about something called the why not community bonds and best social practices and how we need to understand the problem and so on. So please join us for this conversation about the Give Back Economy coming right up. Don't forget facetofacelive.ca for more information about my podcast. We're coming up on 360 or thereabouts. I hope you find something interesting to listen to. And also check Face to Face Live out on patreon.com. You can help us out there by supporting what we're doing here financially to ensure that we can continue. Carla Langhorst, Peter Miller, coming right up, talking about their new book, The Give Back Economy.
Well, welcome to Face to Face. We are joined by two very special guests today. It's always a pleasure to have more than one person on the phone with me. We've got a three-way conversation going on here. Peter Miller and Carla Langhorst are here today to talk to me about their new book, The Give Back Economy: Social Responsibility Practices for Business and Nonprofit. Thank you to you both for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having us.
So I think what, I mean, let's just, you both, you know, we've had a little bit of a conversation before we've hit the record button here. And frankly, you're both way too positive for my liking. So page
we're
one.
We're Canadian. We say sorry too.
Exactly. Page one of the Give Back Economy, the chapter is "The New Economy is Here." And the line is, "The world is changing for the better," period. Tell me why the world is changing for the better in relation to what you've written, but also to what you both know in your experience.
Right. We actually argued about that first line, so it should be interesting to hear what Peter says.
Funny.
I will start with, it was really interesting because in all the work and all the people that we speak with, really, you hear about doomsday, you hear about, you know, what's happening in politics, you hear about terrorism, you hear about climate change, you hear about all these really, really terrible things. Mm-hmm. And often it feels hopeless. And so what we started to look for is, and what we're already seeing in the social innovation, social entrepreneurship space, is that it's growing.
Right.
And it's growing because of the pain points of what people are thinking. No, oh no, things are so bad in the world. And so, you know what makes change and what makes things good is people's mindset.
Mm.
So if people want to make a difference, and we have enough urgency at this point in time to start doing action, that's where we're actually seeing that this is the tipping point. And what we're seeing in the next generation, so millennials and the Z Gen or the Z Gen, however you want to call them, they want their lives to be meaning-making.
Mm.
They're demanding it. And so companies who historically were focused only on profits, well, that no longer works. So things are, in fact, changing for the better.
And it doesn't matter what size the organization. It can be a one-person restaurant, it could be a farmer, or it could be a large organization like Walmart or General Motors. And that's what makes it exciting to be part of this movement, which is really growing.
How do you both, I know you unpack this in a very detailed way. It's a very specific, very focused, intentional workbook, it seems to me, around this idea of social responsibility and entrepreneurship and so on. Can you talk to me a little bit about what does social enterprise mean? What does social entrepreneurship mean? I had a text from a friend of mine yesterday who's in the financial industry. David, what do you know about social impact investing? ? It seems to be something we're reading about more. We hear about it more. Can you tell us a little bit about, maybe not the black and white definition, but tell us a little bit more about what it is?
Go for it, Peter. This one's yours.
In simple terms, it's a business or an organization that runs like a business, but gives back to community as part of what they do. And it can be simple things or it can be complicated. Walmart is very successful in terms of, they have a department of about 8 people. And they're also a social entrepreneur in terms of some of the activities that they do, which a lot of people don't recognize.
Right.
So it's really running like a business with a social idea that makes change.
Yeah, and I think what's really challenging at this point in time is the definition. So
right.
You said don't give us a definition, but you're right that we don't actually want to have a definition right now because we want it to be so big and so encompassing and so inviting that we want everyone to be part of it.
Yeah, that's good.
So a lot of times people will be like, social enterprise, that seems complicated, or that's not my thing. I want to make a lot of money. Well, you know what? If you actually expand what the definition is right now, we're actually able to have more people being part of this ecosystem. I think that's important. On the same side, I mean, it is an ethical dilemma because if you make it so broad that anyone calls themselves a social entrepreneur, are we just greenwashing it again?
Right.
So there is B Corp is now in Canada, and obviously there's a lot of corporations that are starting to follow that.
Right.
And so there are some more rigorous ways to approach this. But I think that having a wide open definition still at this point in time is a good thing rather than a bad thing.
Well, it certainly invites creativity, it seems to me,
right.
And a willingness to kind of dive in, hopefully, to have a conversation, to go a little deeper because there isn't a hard and fast rule around what it actually means.
Right.
Well, that's right, buddy. Here's a really good one. A crowdfunding organization challenged kids, elementary school kids, to come up with an idea to give back to the community. A 7-year-old said to his mother, I've got a lot of clothes, and pajamas in particular, and I could take those clothes and I could give them to an orphanage or to a hospital with sick kids. An 11-year-old passed a homeless woman on the street, and she went home and she said to her mother, I'm gonna develop a kit, a basic kit, for homeless people, and she put together a whole bunch of items in terms of a kit, And with the help of the parents, it turned into a mini social enterprise.
Yeah, that.
So I agree with Carla. You know, if you put too tight a definition on this thing, then you exclude, you know, a lot of kids of what they can do. This crowdfunding organization ended up giving 100 kids $1,000 each.
Wow.
To further develop their ideas.
You know, Carla, you talked a little bit about greenwashing, and I'm sure there's a lot of cynics who are going to be listening to this podcast, but who probably don't necessarily believe in a give back economy yet, or who don't believe that it's actually viable or can actually work because, oh, well, that means I'm going to lose money, right? So before we go into that, could you talk a little bit about that greenwashing and this idea of corporate social responsibility, CSR? I've heard some people say that notion is already kind of old in a sense, that we need to start talking more about this idea of impact investing, of entrepreneurship and enterprise and so on, because CSR has kind of a negative connotation almost.
Right, and I actually look at social impact investing and CSR as actually very different ways of both doing good, but they're both just tools. And
right.
So tools can always be taken advantage of. I think that's the big thing. So CSR, I would go so far as to argue that by not having a CSR strategy at this point, is actually making you fall behind, especially when it comes to retention of millennials as they enter the workforce. And I mean, they haven't entered the workforce. I mean, they are one of the main drivers of the workforce right now. So the retention, they already don't expect to stay with a company.
Right.
We already know that as a company, that retention and turnover is extremely expensive.
Right.
The knowledge management within an organization is critical. And as the boomers continue to retire and we don't have a succession plan, we're in lots of trouble. And so all of that is about retention of millennials. And millennials' number one reason to stay at a job is obviously the social side is still important for them, but it is that it's fulfilling. And fulfillment is not just about money anymore. So by not having this strategy, greenwashing, you know what? Millennials are going to smell it out.
Right.
And they're still going to leave. And you're still going to be in trouble. So most of the time we think about Friedman's that companies are only about making money for the shareholders. Well, part of making money for the shareholders is now actually making a social impact through CSR. The challenge we're facing still in CSR is that for every dollar that is raised for a nonprofit or for making a social impact, another dollar is being spent on marketing. So wouldn't it be lovely if that ratio started to shift in favor of social impact?
Right. Right.
So the second question being the second side of it, social impact finance or social finance, that is just another tool that's talking more about our investments. So especially in Canada, I mean, financial sector, that's a huge part of our economy. And so currently, most of them are about, again, maximizing shareholder value and our investors' value. So is there actually a balance? Does there need to be a balance? Can we actually make impact with our investments at the same time?
Peter, you're a banker. You spent many years with one of the largest Canadian banks. Why are you now working in this world? Maybe there's a couple of questions here. I guess what drew you in, but why aren't you just still working for a bank making money?
Let me do that with an example.
Sure.
I think that's the easiest way. I met a farmer from Windsor and I said to him, I threw a CSR concept at him, and it took him a while for it to sink in. He said, yeah, I spend $500 a year for hockey shirts, T-shirts. And I said to him, well, what do you get back from that, being an ex-banker? And he said, nothing. And I said, well, you should.
Right.
There are huge benefits from an ROI point of view. Number one, you could be at the arena presenting those shirts to the players, and you could video it and put it on your website, put it on your social media. You could do a press release. You could invite those players to come to your farm with their parents and experience farm life. And you could take a video of that and also send out a press release. So what has got me involved is the amazing things that our people are doing in this space. So I was at, yesterday I was at a place called Wayne's Cup in Markham. And it's a place where the adults are mentally challenged and they're provided with a work experience and a life skills experience at the same time. And it's amazing, amazing what they're doing. And, you know, they're charging the parents a small fee for these folks to come there. It's just huge what I get out of this versus coaching regular businesses about finance and other aspects. It's very rewarding.
There's two adages I like to use of, like, it's not the why to be involved in this. I think it's the why not. I mean, yeah, you only live one.
Mm-hmm.
It's being one adage. And the other one, you can't take it with you.
Mm-hmm. It's true. The why not of being involved, you know, that idea of lost opportunity and what, you know, what are you missing out on? I mean, I just, you know, you brought up Friedman. I'm assuming you meant Milton Friedman.
Yes.
Yeah. The social responsibility of business is to increase profits, right? So yeah, interesting essay that everybody needs to go back. And when was that written? 71, 72, something like that?
Yes.
Part of the Chicago Five.
I don't have Google.
Yeah, part of the Chicago Five was Milton. But it really did clearly shape the way we think about what it means to do business and what it means to make a profit. Peter, go.
I mean, as an organization that does CSR, by giving back to the community, they're building their brand name in the community.
Sure, of course.
They're getting new sources of clients as a result of that activity.
Is there, Peter, Carla, either of you on this one or both, are we eventually going into a place, and who knows how many years this could be away, but globally where all businesses will be social enterprise?
Again, the definition I think will start tightening up, but mm-hmm. I do believe so. What we've seen over the years, I just read research about this actually the other week, which is interesting, is that over the years, everything was about the commons.
Right.
So the commons was, you know, it's going to be the open space. Everyone was sharing it in parks, and that was just standard. It was only in the last century that the commons actually became under the government. So the government actually controlled it, trying to ensure that everyone was treated equally and everyone was being taken care of. And so things are changing again, that the commons is actually starting to revert back.
Right.
To the people, and it's actually taking social entrepreneurs to make sure that everyone is being treated equitably, and social justice is a core value of that.
And to add to that, you know, you brought up the issue of banks. Well, believe it or not, they're a for-profit social enterprise. Now, maybe a little greedy, but some of the work that they are doing is giving back
sure.
to the community.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, credit unions are great examples of financial institutions that they are actually designed for the community, for the commons. They're designed as cooperatives as well, for everyone pays in and then people can get loans from them. So economy is really, it is part of what is important to equalize.
Well,
and even it's interesting as churches, they worry about economic prosperity. You wouldn't
right.
think so, but
right.
when someone is economically well, everything else falls in line.
Right.
Carla, why don't you tell them about Community Bond? I think that kind of brings it all together.
Well, what we are seeing now, and definitely there's been some examples in Canada, and I think the States is also doing this, is how can we as individuals invest in our community moving forward? So can we invest in co-working space for the greater good? Can we invest in a youth center? Can we invest in a cafe that's local so that we actually don't have a large conglomerate coming in? So we're actually seeing that people who really like downtown independent businesses are now being given a new avenue to actually invest in it through the community bond, which is a social impact finance tool.
So just before you tell me a little bit more about the specifics of the book, The Give Back Economy, and because it really does sort of read like a workbook, and it's so detailed and so many ideas and examples and ways forward, I love chapter 3 on your social idea, and you open up the chapter with "Can Your Idea Change the World?" And it's something that that I've always often talked about with my students and with my kids and with the podcast that I do. I mean, I certainly firmly believe that. I'd love to hear what you both have to say.
Yeah. So I think that's what the Social Innovation Challenge is all about, actually. So in the third chapter, we do talk about how do you come up with an idea. And a big part is really understanding the problem.
Right.
I think the best social entrepreneurs that we've spoken to are, and the ones who end up being really successful in creating huge impact as well as making sure it's financially sustainable, is because they deeply, deeply understand the problem. More often than not, they've been impacted by it very directly.
Right.
Either themselves or a family member or a close friend, which allows them to understand all the various factors and address it accordingly.
Right.
So that makes you have a better business solution in for-profit or a non-profit, and definitely a social enterprise when you understand the problem.
Yeah, I do that when I do my coaching or providing strategic support. A lot of people will come to me and say, I've got a solution for hunger. And I push back and I say, no, I want you to define the problem and who is impacted and how many are impacted by that problem before you even tell me about your solution.
Yeah, well, I mean, it seems to me a lot of people too, I mean, it's about the call to action, right? Oh man, I want to roll my sleeves up. And I mean, I'm guilty of this all the time. Let me just dive in. And I do a lot of work and have done a lot of work overseas, international development. And often the mistake is that we basically fly into some of these places and say, we can help, we understand, we know what's going on, and we don't listen, and we don't take the time to understand, and we don't really know what the context is before we implement solutions small s, and then sometimes cause more problems than we were there to fix.
And sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah, exactly. Thanks. Yeah. And I wonder, you know, to what degree, I mean, you know, we're talking about the same kind of thing here when it comes to, you know, social impact investing and so on.
Yeah. It really is understanding what the problem is because of the social justice lens. I think, I'm sure you have lots of examples. I mean, one of, I'm going to say my favorite examples, but it's not a great situation, is how many people want to fly off to Africa and they want to build a school.
Right.
How many times, I know many people who've actually said that to me. Well, what we know is that when people fly to Africa and build a school, well, they actually take the job away from the local people who actually get paid to build the school. So why not save your money on the flight there if you're actually interested in making impact and pay for the school to be built by the locals?
Right.
So it's interesting that we Absolutely. Think sometimes
different
with
approaches.
Our privilege.
I think too often those kinds of trips, those kinds of interventions are coming from a place of privilege and sometimes a a misunderstanding of the more global sort of context, or never mind global. How about just specific, you know, context? Because even within a particular country, think of all the different contexts, the community context and family
context. I mean,
context,
that's just Africa,
right?
A very
nuanced.
Big continent.
Nuanced. You're and right. Complicated. Absolutely. Tell me a little bit about the book and the way, and what you're hoping to do with it. I mean, there's a download kit. It's you know, tell me about your demographic, who you're after, what you're actually trying to do with this, the Give Back Economy.
I think our challenge is we really tried to make it for almost anyone in business who wants to make a difference.
Right.
So the very first part is kind of all the neat things that are happening that is causing this ecosystem to emerge in the way that it is. The second chapter is really about CSR, and like you say, the download kit and it being really step by step. Then there's a lot of pieces about if you want to be a social entrepreneur, how to do that. I think this, for me, was the most interesting part because going into this, even though I've been a social enterprise and nonprofit consultant for a decade, going into this, I literally thought, oh, you know, it's just like normal business with a little bit of nuance. And then when we started to really dig deeper of all the methodologies that they are actually using, it's business, but like twice as complicated because there are twice as many tools and nuances within it. So digging into that, and if you can tell, Peter and I, we have differences of opinion sometimes, which made it even more exciting. And we really challenge each other on things to really see how many different ways that a social enterprise can in fact work. The social finance, Canada is actually pretty leading edge on this. I mean, the UK is as well. And so many of the examples that we're seeing and the different ways of structuring social finance and being creative in finance, that's definitely in there. We wanted to highlight those. So it's pretty much like a social finance 101 is, I think, chapter 6. And so we tried to pack a lot. So even if you're a beginner, it gives you the lay of the land. But if you've been in this, I think because we really struggled with some of the pieces, definitely for social entrepreneurship and being very specific of how to do CSR well in a way that the millennials will realize you actually care, we wanted to do our diligence there.
And I think another target market, because, you know, a third of my different careers was in the academic community. I'd like to see it as an academic tool that could be incorporated in a lot of different programs within a university or a college, either day school or night school or online. And so it would provide an education for a student in terms of helping them in terms of job hunt, that they understood the concepts and they could apply it as an internal consultant within the company or somebody who has some knowledge and experience and could be unique within the company, could almost even create a job for them.
Mm-hmm. What I love about it is it's such a resource manual. And I think, Carla, you know, you could be a beginner, you could be somebody who's been in the space for quite some time, and there's so much to draw from it. I mean, just, you know, a section here just for those listening on granting, you know, key points, meeting with the organization, adhering to content requirements, partnerships, telling stories, be specific about outcomes and outputs, and timelines matter. Don't forget to include the team. Don't forget to, you know, the classic, keep it simple. And you've really, you've done a deep dive overall, but you've also just kind of touched on a lot of areas that are critical, it seems to me, to not only nonprofits, but to this idea of having a long-term impact in a social enterprise-like way.
Yeah, no, we've lived it. We know. I think it's just like being a solopreneur, I believe, where you're kind of the janitor as well as the CEO. Well,
right.
within social enterprise, it's that time, you know, at least two, if not three. With boards of directors, if you go that governance, I mean, there's so many different layers,
sure.
And there's so much still emerging. Like, we don't even know what the social enterprise actual definition is.
Right.
Every organization still has it different. So things are still moving, but we try to make sure that the book does take that into account.
Can you talk to that for a second? So things are still moving. I'm wondering, you know, somebody picks up this book who doesn't know a lot about it. Does it scare them away in a sense? Like, wow, this looks so complicated. I can't do this. How am I going to change the world? I don't want anything to do with that. Thanks very much.
I think the issue there is building the team.
Right, right.
And that was a chapter that I was involved in. And the folks that I deal with are usually one, two, or three people teams.
Right.
And I say to them right off the bat, you've got to have, even if it's a volunteer team, they can make a difference to help you grow. And it's not all on your back.
Yeah. I think one really piece of positive feedback for us is someone who is a for-profit business owner who read the book. And they actually reached out to us and said, thank you for this. When I read it, I realized that my business can provide a social impact too. And it is actually allowing her to make her business make be more meaning-making for her.
Right.
So of course, she's already doing her passion because you have to start your own business.
Yes.
But then to overlay that with a social impact piece, she's just feeling that it's going to be that much more rewarding for her.
So we're going to have to, sadly, going to have to wrap up here in a couple of minutes, but I have a few more questions I'd love to ask. But can small business owners afford this? Is this actually doable? So yes, I got the book. I'm in. I want to create some meaning. I understand about retention and so on. I want to change the world a little bit. Can we afford it as a small business?
Well, definitely I would almost turn around and be like, can you afford not to?
I think we asked
that before.
Right, kind of the why not approach.
Right. So two pieces. I mean, CSR, definitely, it's a no-brainer. A little goes a long way. I think you'll be shocked. And hearing people's stories of who you are, I'm not going to say that you it's for them. You're not supporting them directly. You're going to get as much back, personally, as what you give. Especially when you're having the relationship and hearing the stories of what the impact actually is.
And those businesses can participate in different ways.
Sure.
And I think that's what makes a difference. Number one, yes, there could be a social investment, but there also could be in-kind investment.
Yeah.
And there also could be volunteer investment. And the payback for doing any one or all of those three is very significant, and that's where it really makes sense in terms of benefits. And as Carla said, why not?
The other audience is for the social enterprise. So if they actually decide to build their business as a social enterprise, where the social impact is actually as important, if not more, than the financial side, we really dug deep into the financial section. So we recognize that that's a challenge. Many nonprofits always say that finances and breaking even is the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we dug deep into that, we have literally, I think, 15, 20 different ways that you can make money that is nuanced as a social enterprise versus a standard for-profit organization. And so what's interesting about that is that the focus allows them to be strategic about how to really do that well, because it is such a big challenge. You can't just keep on doing it. Our big focus is that as a social enterprise, if you don't have financial sustainability, it means you can't make as much social impact because you're not going to be around for very long.
A simple little example. My cousin started an organization called the Learning Partnership, which you've never heard of. But if I said to you, take your kid to work for a day, you may recognize something like that. He did that with no government funding.
Hmm.
And today, you started with 25, and now they're 550,000
that
are on that program.
Amazing.
With no government funding.
Well, and I think, you know, that's a really, I mean, maybe that's a beautiful way to kind of wrap it up, because one of the questions I do like to always ask my guests is, you know, we started out with hope and we're kind of ending with hope. Why are you guys so hopeful? You know, depending on when you read the news, it doesn't look too good out there, you know, and yet the stats say that, 99% of business owners want to give back into their communities. But don't know how. And I mean, okay, let's shameless plug here. You got to get the give back economy. I mean, this is a good place to start, but why so hopeful?
The last question is always the hardest.
it often is. And you know what? Maybe we talked about this as well, I think, offline, but we need to talk about a part two for sure.
Oh, great. That'd be fun. For me, I think it is the stories and the people who are the change makers.
Right.
We actually dedicated the book to the change makers out there because that's the hard work.
Yeah.
But it's so rewarding. And what I think is that when things are really, really difficult, that probably is a good indicator that you're on the right path.
Right.
And the fact that we have people who are willing to do the hard work, I mean, that's amazing. And that's really hopeful.
And so many people will not engage with the community or give back to the community. And it's exciting for us to be engaged with people who will do that. And to guide them and help them. And the book kind of gives them a little bit of guidance for that.
Well, listen, thank you so much for chatting with me today. We've been talking with Peter Midler and Carla Langhorst about their new book, The Give Back Economy, Social Responsibility Practices for Business and Nonprofit. You know, if you're a social innovator, a socially conscious organization, maybe you're just somebody who wants to change the world, it seems to me this book is for you. Self-counsel.com and search The Give Back Economy. Thank you, Peter and Carla, for your time today. I really appreciate it, and for your energy and your hope and your passion and commitment for change.
Thank you.
David, this has been fun.